Morning. I'm sure that many of us that have reached that age of 65 or older are glad that we have stopped receiving all those spam phone calls asking us to upgrade our Medicare or our Medicaid and what plans we're choosing. And I set my ringtone on my cell phone to stop calling. I don't want to talk anymore to any of those open phone calls. And I'm sure I received probably at least 20 to 30 to 40 of them a day. This morning, with that in mind, and of course that ended December 7th, I probably received some phone calls still as of late as December 8th in case I was last minute or whatever, I don't know. But with that in mind, thinking along those lines, this morning I'd like to title the sermon, God's Benefit Package. The text for this morning will be in Psalm 103. This morning we'll be spending a little time in Psalm 103. Not only is it one of the most encouraging books of the Bible, its truths will completely transform your life into a more blessed life than you could ever imagine. I'd like to start with Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. I'm looking at the New King James Version. I know many of you are looking at the King James Version. The new shouldn't be that much different. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? A young minister was about to deliver his first sermon, and he was asked, a retired minister friend of his for advice on how to capture the congregation's attention. Anybody that knows about the English or teaching or whatever, you want to hook them first. You want to hook them. You got 8 seconds, they say. There's a study. Like when you think about surfing the internet and whatever, or the TV and the remote, you have about 8 seconds to catch the person's attention or they move on to the next channel. So he thought about this for a moment. And they said, start with an opening line that's certain to grab them, his friend told them. For example, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who was not my wife. And then he smiled at the younger man's shocked expression before adding, she was my mother. Well, the next Sunday, the young preacher gets up and he nervously clutches the pulpit. Finally, he said, some of the best years of my life was spent in the arms of a woman. He was pleased with the instant reaction. But he became all tongue-tied and panic-stricken and then said, but for the life of me, I can't remember who she was. Forgetfulness can be a tremendous problem, often getting us into a terrible predicament. How many times have you been embarrassed for forgetting someone's name? How many appointments have been missed or opportunities slipped by simply because you simply forgot about them? Entire industries are built upon the manufacture and sale of memory aids. My life has been saved numerous times by the calendar, by sticky notes, by somebody mentioning just a brief something that has brought, oh, that's right, I should be doing that right now. As long as I remember and write stuff down, I do pretty well. I once read of a man who went on a training conference where a course was being taught on how to improve one's memory. He spent nearly $200 on the books, tapes, and worksheets for the course, and then brought them home. He stored them in a convenient location, and then he forgot where he put all of them. I don't know if you've ever done that. My wife just the other day was saying, this is a great place to keep things. And then she was asking me, hey, Mark, have you seen the such and such? And I said, what about that great place that you said you were going to keep things? Oh, yeah, that's right. And then we found them there. No matter how hard we try, our memories sometimes fade with time. The treachery of memory is that while it treasures the past, it permits priceless treasures to decay. The painful words from a family member are constantly replayed, but all too often the important truth that should transform our lives leak from us like the water from a rain gutter. Forgetting to pick up the dry cleaning is inconvenient. Forgetting a name is embarrassing. And forgetting the anniversary may be very troubling. But when we forget all God has done for us, that is terrifying. This is the reason Scripture shows the opposite of forgetfulness. It is not just recalling truths like the grocery items you need from the local grocery store. Rather, the opposite of forgetfulness is the activity of renewing our minds. In Psalm 103, our text, it tells us to worship the Lord because of all the benefits that he has given us. So there are two little words I would like to talk about today. The first word is remember. The second is benefits. When it comes to the concept of remembering, there is something we all want. We want God to remember us. Actually, there is quite an inner cry in the heart of every person, every human being. It is a desperation, if you will, that God would not forget them. Because we know that if God will just remember us, he will not abandon us, and he will do something about whatever we are facing. Here are the three scriptures dealing with God remembering us. I shouldn't say the three, because there are numerous, but here are three that I have picked out. The first concerns the thief that was crucified next to Jesus. In Luke 23 and verse 42, and I'm sure we're all familiar with this. And he said unto Jesus, this is a thief speaking to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me. In his most desperate hour, and understanding that his sin nailed him to the cross, he said, I understand why I am here. Justifiably so. This repentant thief cried out for Christ to remember him. You see, when God remembers, he does more than just recall information. For God to remember something means for God to act on someone's behalf and to be favorable to them. Samson was blind and enslaved by the Philistines. Yes, he had sinned and he had fallen from grace. But now he is asking God for one more touch, one more moment of anointing, one more opportunity. He does so by asking the Lord to remember him, and that by remembering him, the Lord would allow his strength to return. Judges 16 and verse 28. We see where Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged the Philistines for my two eyes. Hannah was in a fix and wanted a child really bad. In the affliction of her inner struggle, she asked the Lord to remember her and not forget her. We find that in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt thou give unto thine handmaid a man-child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Also, here are three scriptures that deal with the importance of us remembering the Lord. So those were people asking the Lord to remember them. But then in Psalms 42, verses 5 and 6, it says, why am I discouraged? I'm paraphrasing. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan from the land of Mount Mizar. We continue in Psalm. This time we go to 63rd Psalm. In Psalm 63, verses 5, 6, and 7, it tells us, my soul shall be satisfied as my marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. And here is one for the young people. We find it in Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The Bible actually has a lot to say about remembering and about not forgetting. Now I'd like to go back to our text. In Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all thy benefits. I want us to now spend a little time looking at the importance of that second word. We know the first one this morning, instead of forgetfulness, we are focusing on this verse to remember all we have. Remember, and now we look at benefits. The word benefit is a very interesting word. According to dictionary.com, the word benefit means something that is advantageous or that is good, an advantage, a payment, or a gift. We all like those benefits, don't we? We look at, okay, how am I going to benefit from this situation? How will I gain something from it? As one made to help someone, we are looking at trying to benefit individuals that are in need. An act of kindness, a good deed. We think about what Jesus came to do. Jesus, how much everyone has benefited from one man's life, from those examples that he taught, the gift of eternal life. When a person gets a job, they want to know what benefits come along with that job. You know, things like health insurance, paid vacations, retirement investments, and scholarships, and so on. That's something I want to bring out today. What are the benefits or the advantages of being a dedicated Christian? What are the benefits of having Christ in our life? Well, we can look in the New Testament, Ephesians. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And again, I'm going to paraphrase. In those days, you are living apart from Christ. You are excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you do not know the convenient promises, or covenant, the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. When David, the king, was writing Psalm 103, he was telling us not to forget all the benefits. Do not forget all the advantages. Do not forget all the special things that go along with being a child of God. But for many of us, it's far too easy to forget, or to get our eyes off the potential blessing because of distractions, or sometimes by simply not knowing what is ours to start with. The lesson here is that we need to spend more time looking into the direction where God wants us to go, rather than spend all our time looking where we want to go. The Bible says it this way, Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Old Testament, Hosea 4, 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But then we see in 2 Timothy 3 and 7. 2 Timothy 3, 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, there's a big difference between amassing knowledge and putting that knowledge to work. I know a lot of people who you would say are filled with useless information. Oh, wait a minute. Let me reword that and say, I know a lot of people who do not use or apply the knowledge that they have. You'll say that they are smart, but then I've heard they say that person's not very street smart when it comes to actually applying it to their everyday life. The Bible is stuffed full of blessings, of promises, and of goodness of God. A lot of people know it's true. But remember the parable of the sowers that Jesus spoke of? We find that in Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. I know that we're very familiar with this, so I'm just going to kind of paraphrase through. Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? And then starting with the thought that you can kind of see in verse 14, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of this life. The lure of wealth and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. I'm going to read that once again because that seems like a lot of people that come in contact. Even myself, I'd have to look at. Are we too quickly, all too quick, to receive the message and then find that we then start worrying about things in life? We start to reason God's word. How many people know what God's word says, but then try to justify their life by saying, well, that isn't really what God meant. Or I'm sure he'll excuse this one thing. That we look at the worries of our life. We look at the lure of wealth, the desire for other things, and no fruit being produced. And then finally in verse 20, it speaks of the concept that the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30 or 60 or even 100 as much as been planted. The thing about all this is we choose. We have a choice about what kind of seed we are. We can choose to be footpath seeds that allow the devil to steal the word away from us. We can choose to be rocky soil that doesn't have the word deeply rooted and fall away as soon as the pressures of life come our way. We can choose to be thorny soil that the word crowds out and chokes out by the worries of this life or for the desires of other things so that no fruit is produced. Or we can choose to be good soil that hears the word. Choose to buy into God's alternative lifestyle and the way of living and produce a large harvest for the Lord. Remember Jesus saying, look upon, he was talking to the disciples with him, look upon this field. We know that the grain and the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. There are hundreds of benefits I can point out to you as you navigate your life down God's pathway. As we continue to walk down the Psalms 103 path, we will pick out some and talk about them. But I want to end this by speaking about God's personal promises to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises that God has, yea. 2 Peter 1 and 4. 2 Peter 1 and 4 tells us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So my conclusion to you this morning, every one of us has personal promises which the Lord has spoken over our lives based on our individual purposes and our destiny. Those promises are consistent with the way that God wants to bless and interact with us along the way. I am here to tell you, don't give up on God. Don't settle for second best. Don't sell your birthright. I know it's hard, but you can do it. It might seem to be too big for you, but I've asked the question, is it too big for God? Yes, I know we have to deal with setbacks. I know we have to deal with disappointments. We have to deal with heartache. We have to deal with reversals. We have to deal with storms and uncertainties. I know we have to deal with even our own failures, our own mistakes, and sin issues. But God is seeing us through, and he is setting us upon that solid rock. That song 120 that we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. God has not given up on you. God has not fallen asleep. God hasn't made a mistake by making a promise to you and then not fulfilling it. God wants to remember you. He wants to remember you in your sickness, remember you in poverty. God wants to remember you in weakness and remember you in troubles. God wants to remember you in confusion. He wants to remember you in struggles. God wants to remember you in your flailing fight with sin. He wants to remember you in the storm of life. We know that God does remember you. We know that he sent his son to be an example for each one of us, that we can obtain that gift of eternal life. God wants you to remember him. He wants you to remember his benefits, to remember his benefit of mercy, his benefit of forgiveness, his benefit of grace, and his benefit of healing. God wants you to remember his benefit of empowerment, his benefit of overwhelming joy. God wants you to remember his benefit of everlasting peace. And he wants you to remember his benefit of supernatural fellowship. He wants you to remember his benefit of spiritual wisdom. And he wants you to remember his benefit of renewal. God wants you to remember his benefit of acceptance. And he wants you to remember his benefit of power and purpose. I am just, of course, getting started. I could continue to go on and on and on. But I think you get the idea that this morning we look at the benefits that God has set up. Who else can justify their promise? I'm sure that we've received promises from people in our human life to find out that they fall short. That, oh, that isn't exactly what I meant. Not everyone is a man of their word. I'm sure that we've been disappointed where we thought one thing and then we strive towards that and then find out that we aren't fully promised the things that we thought we were going to get. God is not that way. We know that God is true to his promise. Be thou found faithful unto death, that you might receive that crown of righteousness that is set up before you. The lesson is yours. If there is anyone in need this morning, you have that opportunity to come forward as together we stand and sing our song of invitation.